Welcome to the Marvin Byrd Show. I'm your host, Dr. Marvin Byrd. This show, the purpose of this show is to equip people, teachers, parents, administrators, stakeholders, equip people with the skills they need to help students chase their vision of success. That's what we're all about here on the Marvin Byrd Show. And today, we've been talking about this a lot. And even throughout educational circles, we're talking about behavior and decision-making, restorative justice, and all those kinds of things. And that is why I am so excited to bring to you a discussion that I recorded with Ms. Courtney Campworth. She is a social worker, and she specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, that's going to also be shortened to CBT. So whenever you hear CBT, we're talking about cognitive behavioral therapy. And when we talk about restorative practices are very similar to cognitive behavioral therapy. So know that going forward. So I'm excited. And so I'm just going to step out of the way right now and bring you this interview. On today's episode of the Marvin Byrd Show, we are going to be talking about behavior. And we're going to be talking about certain tips that can be used to help students reflect on their behavior, adjust their decision making, so that, of course, we want them to stay in school, we want them to stay in class, and we want them to make better decisions so that they can get their education and graduate with purpose and chase their vision of success. That's what it's all about. So on today's show, we have a social worker who specializes in cognitive behavioral therapy. Courtney Campworth, how are you today? Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. I'm doing well today. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Courtney, the first question right out the gate I ask guests that we have on the show is about your why. So you're a social worker. You're very passionate about working with children. What's your why as it relates to being a social worker?
Sure. I actually have a lot of different life experiences that have shaped my why, but there's three that really stick out to me. So my first why would have to be growing up, I had an uncle with mild mental retardation, and he lived most of his adult life in a group home. So as a kid, my grandmother would host bingo nights and holiday parties for him and the residents from his group home. And that experience really put the helping desire into me. So that would be my first. My second would be, as a teenager, I went on a missions trip to inner city Philadelphia for a week, and we ran a vacation Bible school. This experience was really eye-opening to me because I lived a pretty sheltered life, and this was my first experience of getting to see poverty and oppression. Mm-hmm. And this trip really gave me a passion for inner city and put that seed in my heart to want to serve and help kids in the inner city. My third why would be in my early 20s, I started to see a therapist myself to work through a traumatic event that I experienced as a young child. Mm. And through therapy, I found validation and healing. And so that's what kind of pushed me to the clinical side. I wanted to help others in the way that I was helped.
Wow, that is really interesting. So this is, you know, your work is all, it seems like it's all very, it's personal. It comes from a personal side for you in terms of your why and why you do the things that you do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay. So cognitive behavioral therapy, Tell us about that. Would you just give, just an introduction to what that is and how it can be helpful to schools, how schools can take advantage of cognitive behavioral therapy? Would you kind of walk us through that, please?
Absolutely. So cognitive behavioral therapy is also known as CBT. Okay. So CBT is defined by Psychology Today as a form of psychotherapy that treats problems and boosts happiness by modifying dysfunctional emotions, behaviors, and thoughts. So in other words, it's a modality of therapy that focuses on problem solving by first looking at the situation that took place and then the individual's thoughts or cognitions, and then you look at the experience. So the emotion, beliefs, and values around that thought that you had that affected the way that you behaved in response to the situation.
I want to cut in right there and just say that it's really interesting that the first thing that you said, because, you know, obviously when we're talking about behaviors, there is a problem. There's an issue. There's a poor decision. And so, you know, with CBT, you talked about treating the problem and boosting happiness. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So I think when it's talking about boosting happiness, it's really focusing on teaching the individual how to change a negative thought to a positive thought. Mm. And just from changing your thought, you then have different emotions and then you behave differently. So it helps you to have a more positive outlook on things that maybe used to stress you.
Mm-hmm.
Will no longer stress you. So it just helps you to be more positive in the way that you respond.
Oh my gosh. There's so much good stuff there. There's so much good stuff there. So change your thoughts equals a change in your emotions, which means less stress and quite possibly better decisions, better academic achievement.
Yeah. So the purpose of CBT is to change the behavior. So in order to change the behavior, you have to look at the thought that you first had to trigger the emotions that you had, because your behavior is a reaction to your emotion. So you first go to the thought that you have.
Oh man, that's good. So you have to look at that first thought. So it's how do schools incorporate this, because it sounds like this is, I mean, it's a session, you know, but schools have so many, you know, hours in a day. How would schools be able to kind of take advantage of this therapy and getting students to really be reflective like that, to spend the time to do that? You know, how does that work?
Yeah. So, some practical ways that a school could implement this, like in the classroom, would be to have a child journal after a behavior happens.
Okay.
So you'd want to be asking them questions like, what were you thinking before you did behavior X? Okay. How were you feeling right before you did behavior X? What is something positive that you can do next time you're feeling this way? So not just like giving the child a punishment, but let's sit down and talk to the child about, what were you thinking? How are you feeling? What can you do better next time? Another way to implement CBT in a classroom would be to use self-reflection worksheets after a child has a behavior. And it kind of walks them through the same process of, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? And what can you do better next time? Therapistaid.com has a lot of free resources. I use them in therapy. I recommend teachers to use them for behavior, to give the child time to reflect on why they acted in the way that they acted. So it's a great resource to get a self-reflection worksheet if anyone's interested in doing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God gave me a gift and a passion to teach. And he also gave me a special gift of being able to motivate students and explain things in a way that helps to capture their attention. And that is on display on the Vision Chasers YouTube channel. I want to talk to you about that. The Vision Chasers YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube/The Vision Chasers, that's the Vision Chasers channel. Now, in that channel, I'm speaking specifically to students. On that channel, I've recorded short motivational videos for students, study tip videos with study tips and different things to help motivate students along the way. And a lot of these videos contain things that I've said to students over the years to help motivate them, help them to get their head on straight and start thinking in terms of, you know, that delayed gratification, making good decisions each and every day, so you set yourself up for multiple opportunities in the future. So if you go to YouTube/The Vision Chasers, you can check that out. And also, for those of you who may be social studies teachers, or maybe you know of a social studies teacher, I also have some flip classroom videos on there as well. They're mainly U.S. history, because that's what I taught when I was in the classroom. So if you know of any social studies teacher, or you're interested in social studies, I've also shared some U.S. history videos, and I've made them really, really simple, just to kind of give some foundational information and whet the appetite for the viewer to want to go look up and do some more research on their own. So please check out that YouTube channel. That's YouTube/The Vision Chasers. That is awesome. And it seems like, based on what you just said, it seems like it's possible for, you know, teachers to kind of quickly use this. Student makes a bad decision, let's break out one of these reflection sheets and have the student fill that out, as opposed to immediately removing the student from the learning environment. To take advantage of this sheet, bring that student into reflection, and hopefully that will kind of treat the problem and boost happiness, as you said earlier, if the student can self-reflect to the point that, oh, wow, I figured out what the origin of this was, and this is what I could have done next time, and so now I can move forward. So that is, it seems doable, I guess is what I'm saying. It seems like it's manageable for a teacher to utilize this resource. Have you seen many teachers use this successfully?
Well, so I use it with at my job. So I work at an after-school program, mm-hmm. and so a lot of times when a child is having a behavior, the teacher will send them to talk to me.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I will implement that. Yeah, I will implement this every time. When I have a kid come to me for a behavior that they just had in class, I always use CBT. I always do this process either through journaling, talk therapy, or a reflection, self-reflection worksheet. So it's something that I use all the time. And I don't work in a school, so I haven't specifically seen a teacher implement it in their classroom.
Okay.
But the teachers at the program I work at, they do implement it.
Okay. Okay. That's really interesting, because I'm thinking, as you're talking, I'm thinking of possibly teacher being able to use it for a certain kind of situation that doesn't necessarily merit a student being sent out of a class. But then I'm also seeing it as possibly useful for, you know, many schools have in-school suspension program, and perhaps that is definitely something that the student can do while they're in there, in addition to the work that they're kind of missing throughout the day. So I'm seeing a lot of practical uses for this reflection sheet. And you said that website was therapistaid.com?
Yes, therapistaid.com. And so when you pull it up, you'll see on the left of the screen, mm-hmm. it will have you choose children or adolescent or adult. And so depending on the age group that you're working with, you would want to go ahead and choose that. And then they have it labeled all on the side, on the left side, and there's actually a tab for CBT. So there's a lot of resources, not just the self-reflection worksheet, but if you want to learn more about the model, or you want to watch a video about what cognitive behavioral therapy is, you're able to do that also on that website.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. That is awesome. I'll definitely check that out, and we'll link it on our social media sites. Any other tips for, well, let's say there's a teacher or administrator out there who's kind of hesitant about changing their mindset and approach as it relates to behavior. What would be the, what would you say to that person that's kind of, you know, kind of stuck in their ways in terms of, you know, let's remove the students from the learning environment. They don't belong here. They're a bad kid. What would you say to that person to kind of try to change your mind?
So what I would say to that person is to try it. You may not want to try it. You may just want to put the child out, but how is that benefiting and has that worked? Every time that you do that, has that worked? The kids that you have automatically suspended, was their behavior changed when they came back? If you didn't have a conversation with the reasons why it happened in the first place, and what can we do better next time? Mm-hmm. If you don't have that conversation, the behavior is not going to change. Simply putting a child out is not going to change a child's behavior. They have to be told what to do better next time. They have to think for themselves, well, why did I act this way? What mm-hmm. can I do? So giving the child the space and the safe environment to really think about why I did this, what emotions was I feeling, right, and what can I do better next time?
That's awesome. And
it's essential.
And I think that time and space, as you were talking about, that is a gift to give that back to a student who is just coming off of making a bad decision, giving them that time and space to really reflect on that so that you can prevent it from happening next time. That really is it's a gift. And I'm glad that, you know, we're starting to really have that conversation more and more in schools across the country. So that's awesome. So another question I have for you, because I know that you're really big into, you're passionate about the school to prison pipeline. I want you to just share with the audience about what first let's start with this. What is, in your own words, what's the school to prison pipeline, and tell us about what you're doing, to solve that issue.
Yeah. So the school to prison pipeline, so it's a big problem in my opinion. But one area of the school to prison pipeline, that I'm passionate about is the reading levels of kids. Mm-hmm. So I read last year, I read an article from Huffington Post on the reading levels of kids in relation to going to prison, and also the reading levels of people who are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so the reading level directly is related to kids graduating school on time and not graduating school on time. Mm-hmm. It's also related to crime and incarceration. So what I focus on mostly in relation to the school to prison pipeline is reading levels and getting kids to the reading level that what I'm trying to say is helping kids to be at reading level.
Correct. Yes.
Throughout school. So the organization that I work at is the Christian Activity Center in East St. Louis, and not my job specifically, but as an organization as a whole, we're passionate about getting kids on level and reading. So we work really hard with our kindergartners and first graders mm-hmm. to get them on reading level, because you don't want them to start already behind. So you want to get them on reading level as soon as possible. So that's something that we do just at the center that I work. Something else that I do, I go to a church called Living the Word Church, located in Collinsville, Illinois. We originated in East St. Louis, and we have a ministry called Three Arms of Outreach. And on that ministry, I help lead the Read One program, which is a program also that targets first graders who are not at reading level. So we have trained coaches. We use a evidence-based curriculum from Frog Street, and we train volunteers to be reading coaches. And so we are going into Katie Harper Wright Elementary in East St. Louis and working with the first graders that are below level. And so it's a 28-week curriculum to then get them on reading level. So we work on fluency, sight words, comprehension. And I think that this is a big part of fighting the school to prison pipeline, is getting our kids who aren't privileged to be educated at a point where they're at reading level at first grade or third grade or kindergarten, and really just helping prepare them for their academics by getting them to reading level.
Wow, that is...
So it's more of a prevention part of trying to fight against the school-to-prison pipeline.
Wow, that is just... That's awesome work that you're doing in that area. I mean, you have clearly... You've picked your target, and you're just laser-focused on that. And you're absolutely correct about the reading level. The reading level definitely determines a lot if it's not corrected immediately. And so I really, really appreciate the work that you're doing in your community as it relates to that school to prison pipeline. Well, Courtney Kempworth, how can our audience members get a hold of you if they want to learn more about CBT?
Absolutely. They can email me at Courtney.Kempworth@gmail.com, or they can connect with me on LinkedIn. If you want to just search my name, when you go there, it's Courtney Kempworth. The link is kind of long to read, so you probably just want to go on and search my name.
And what I'll do is I'll make sure that I add that to our social site as well, and your name will be in the title of the title of the show as well, so people will be able to find you, connect with you, and learn more about CBT. You've given us a lot to think about, a lot to reflect on, which is appropriate because that's what we want our students to do as it relates to their behavior. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I just want to take a minute to remind you that if you like what you hear on the Marvin Bird Show, and you've been wondering to yourself, how can I support the wonderful things that are going on with this podcast? This is amazing stuff. How can I support? Well, let me tell you this. You can support very, very simply, and it doesn't cost you any additional money. You can if you shop at Amazon, instead of going to Amazon.com, wait right there. I got another one for you. You can go to MarvinBird.com/Amazon. If you go to MarvinBird.com/Amazon, that'll take you to a page that has the big Amazon icon. And if you click on that icon, that'll take you to Amazon, where you were going originally. And anything that you purchase there, we get a little commission for it. That's just your way of saying, hey, thanks. Keep up the great work. This is great content. Let's keep the conversation going. So if you would do that, and if you would tell all of your friends to do that, I would appreciate it so much. So thank you very much to all of you who are doing that. It really does mean a lot. It keeps us going. And to those of you who are considering it, I ask that you please do consider it. Try it out. It's very, very simple. Just takes just a few extra seconds of your time so that you could give back to the Marvin Bird Show. So thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for your consideration. Now let's get back to this interview. You see, I told you it was going to be an awesome interview and a very enlightening interview about cognitive behavioral therapy. And Don't worry, if you want those links and if you want her contact information, just go to our social media sites on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/MarvinBird.edu. Also, you can find it on our Twitter sites. That's at Marvin Bird LLC on Twitter. And then my personal site, you can find her information. That's at Marvin Bird. But it's good to know that there are materials that are already out there. If this is something that you are interested in experimenting with, there are materials out there. You don't have to bake your own bread in this instance. You can go to the website therapistaid.com to find these reflection pieces that she was mentioning in the interview and just experiment, see how it works. And she made a great point about trying it just to see if it works, because I think the majority opinion agrees, you know, what we were doing in the past is not working in terms of immediately removing the student from the learning environment because it's not working. We need them to be able to reflect on their decision making so that we can hopefully get students to make better decisions next time. That's what it's about. And in terms of reflection, students need to reflect on their present, and they also need to reflect on their future as well. And with that being said, I submit to you, I want to remind you of my book, Make It Plain: Keys to Being a Successful High School Student. It is written to students and it is written for students to help them reflect on the things that they need to do each and every day to be successful and to help set them up so that they have the skills that they need to chase their vision of success after they graduate. So Make It Plain: Keys to Being a Successful Student. It's out there. You can go to Amazon. You can get it. And you'll also find a link to it on those social media sites that I mentioned before. So thank you so much for listening. And until we meet again, please take care of those children.